Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and you know, today we have got four different guests, and each of them are going to come on and talk about, you know, some quilting things that are sort of their forte, something that they do really well. And I'm excited about that because it's always great to learn new things and hear about how people quilt and do what they do. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to meet Carla Alexander of Saginaw Street Quilt Company. I am really excited to have Carla on because I haven't met her. I've seen her work, and it's exciting and it's fun and it's really curvy. So I like that part a lot. Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing great. So where part of the world do you quilt in, Carla?
Okay, so I'm on the West Coast. I'm up here in Oregon.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you were. So I'm in Virginia, so we're about as far away as we can get from each other.
That's right.
And still be on the same continent, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a width-wise.
That's a good thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So I was reading your bio, and you've been sewing a long time, and I just love that you took your mom's scraps and did Barbie clothing.
Yes, yes, that was my first attempt at sewing, and lucky for me, she never, took the sewing machine away from me or the scissors. She just let me go, and as long as I didn't cut a big hole out of one big piece of fabric, you know, I was all right.
Did you actually sew on the machine as a little girl as well?
I did. My mom used to monogram for a little side business, and so I would sit alongside her, and when she was done, I would get up and sew. I would sew the scraps.
Wow!
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to have the sewing machine that young because we didn't have one, I guess. So there was,
yeah.
I didn't hit the machine till a little bit later. I want to talk about your style because I just love it. I love the style of your quilts because they remind me of traditional quilts, but they're done very fresh and, like I said, very curvy. Tell me a little bit about how you sort of came about quilting in this manner. Do you think of it as traditional?
Well, you know, I really love traditional quilts. I just think I get there in a different way than most people do.
Mm-hmm.
The first three quilters that really inspired me, and it's just they're all so different, is Nancy Crow, and I love the way she seemed to enjoy the process and build her quilts as she went along.
Mm-hmm,
Then Carol Dope, which is very different, but I realized the importance of a fabric selection, you know, when you're working with miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
And then Margaret Miller, you know, I loved her bold optical illusions. And although they're all three very different, I kind of blended that into my own style and, you know, kind of kept each one of those, sewing, you know, ways in my head and kind of came up with my own blend of that. So, yeah, it came from a whole bunch of different quilters, and they're all very, very different.
That is so interesting. I love hearing that because I also was very inspired by Nancy Crow's work, but my work doesn't look anything like your work. So,
right.
You know, there's someone who's inspired both of us, but totally, totally different.
I like the way she just goes about it, and she works it until it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, I think that's been really important.
Did you start out making traditional quilts? I mean, like nine patches and stuff, or did you sort of just go right
there? Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You know, my favorite block is a log cabin, a half square triangle, and hourglass and a four patch. I think that those blocks are so important. And you can just go so many places with, you know, with those kind of as your springboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to begin there, and then who knows where I end up. I'm certainly not a purist. You know,
yep.
If I need to splice in a piece of fabric to make it work, I totally consider that. And, you know, I always joke when people ask me what size needle I use, I say, I use one, as long as it has a hole in it, I'll use it.
Yeah. Yeah, no rules. It sounds like you're a little bit of a no rules girl.
Yeah. You know, I like to do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't like to get cranky with rules.
So tell me a little bit about your stack and deck. Stack the deck, slice it up, put it back together, because you've done several books along that line, including your newest book called Dynamic Quilts with Easy Curves.
Yeah, you know, I soon realized that I don't enjoy cutting yards and yards and yards of strips and then sitting at the sewing machine and just, you know, manufacturing these long strip sets and then cutting them up. It's fascinating, but I don't love it. I like more instant results. And so I found myself working more with smaller pieces, squares and rectangles.
Right.
And, you know, people cut, double cut strips and such. And so, you know, people have done it for years, you know, cut layers of fabric. And so that's kind of where it started. It's because I had more fun, you know, with smaller pieces rather than big, long strips. And then I could control, you know, a set of five and do another set of six differently and and then trim them all up to the same size. So I don't like to have a predetermined outcome. You know, I always get cranky if someone's a, well, I don't get cranky, okay.
Right.
But I always get like, why do we have to have 9 or 9.5 or 10, 10.5? Why does it have to be a size that ends like in a quarter inch or a whole number? Or, I mean, I have an acronym, WWGD, and I always say, what would Grandma do?
Yes.
She'd make them fit together.
Right,
you know, and I look back and I think that's what they did. It didn't matter. Oh, do they all finish at 9 inches? It doesn't matter. They need to fit together.
Right, right.
So,
you know, in your book, that your latest book, The Dynamic Quilts with Easy Curves, your quilt called The Village News, which seems to really showcase that, because part of it is probably your colorway, where it looks like a lot of puzzle pieces, but parts of it are like look like they just sort of go off into the border. Can you tell us a little bit about that quilt?
Well, I am trying to work with solids a lot more. I'm really intrigued with them, and I'm finding they're harder to work with than what I imagined. But I like for a block to just kind of disappear off the side. And so, you know, you don't look at it and see this, you know, this little tile work of patches that are all identical. That it just kind of swims in and has movement and moves in and out of the border. And so when you look at it, you know, it's like I said, it's just not like a grid of patchwork. Have you ever, has anyone ever emailed you that paragraph where all the words are mixed up? And by the time you get to the end of it, by the time you get to the end of it, you're reading it perfectly.
Right, right,
because like
your brain's filling it in.
Yeah, I like to think of quilts as the same, in the same way. I like to think people walk by and look at a quilt, and they don't look at, oh, you didn't make that point match, or, you know, this is wrong or right. They look at it as a whole, and their mind fills in the pieces, and then they decide if they like it, kind of like that paragraph, you know, and then you don't go up to it and start picking out what was right or wrong. You just immediately, oh, I like that, or what have you. And I kind of like to go about making quilts in that free-form method of, you know, as one whole piece.
So did you find it challenging then to have to write directions for that? Because what you're talking about is a little bit more like a process, you know, where you wouldn't necessarily follow a pattern. So when you have to try to put that concept into a book, do you do a lot of guidelines, like sort of how you're talking right now?
You know, that is the hardest part, is trying to, you know, put restrictions on it. People will want to know exactly what the block size will be or exactly how it's going to look. And so it's kind of hard to get that person to loosen up just a little bit and just kind of go with the flow. And like I said, you know, the WWGD, what would Grandma do?
Yeah.
You know, get there how you can, you know. And, yeah, that's really difficult. And to try to get people there after reading another book that's so perfectly written with, you know, exact sizes and, you know, everything mathematically.
Yeah.
So, you know, it appeals to some people. Others, it doesn't. And I just kind of ask them to drop, my students, I kind of ask them to drop what they already know at the front door.
Oh.
They can pick them up on the way back out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just give this a try and see if you can, you know, if you can use it with your designs.
And you also developed a couple of rulers to help people out.
I did. I was really lucky with Creative Grid rulers.
Mm-hmm.
They were really willing to take a chance with me to make some really unusual looking rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, I wouldn't call them rulers. I'd call them more like templates.
Yes.
And
okay.
While I love to teach freeform curves and mm-hmm. cutting and sewing, I still have a fair amount of students who are uncomfortable with that. And mm-hmm. so after a while, I decided to go ahead and design the rulers to work with my work. And, you know, I would never write a pattern or make a design that you had to have a tool.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to teach both ways. But that way, you know, if you like to use tools, and a lot of ladies and men do, mm-hmm. some don't, then you can choose.
Well, that's really great, because I do think sometimes it's helpful for people if they're not used to doing things in a little different manner. Having that tool is like a nice way to reinforce what the process is.
Yeah, it reinforces it. And when you see the light go off, it's just so satisfying mm-hmm. as a teacher when all mm-hmm. of a sudden they realize, you know, that they can do this and it's different. And, mm-hmm. you know, that, and then they can, it just kind of starts the ball rolling for them. And I, that's, you know, that's what I live for. I love that. You know.
And you teach a lot. People can go out to your website, SaginawStreetQuilts.com, and you have a list on your site of everywhere that you teach.
That's right. And when I do a workshop, I try to talk the guild or the store where I'm teaching into not just choosing one design.
Mm-hmm.
We choose a style. So you get you know, you get to choose four or five different quilts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always fun. The workshops are fun because there's different blocks going up. And I always tell my students, you know, we're going to hang your blocks up as you go, and it's not to critique your sewing.
Mm-hmm.
It's to look at it and say, okay, is this the right blue? Do I need to add more blue?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I on the right path? Because if you don't do that, you know, then it's over.
You know, this has just been wonderful to have you on the show, Carla, today.
Well, thank you.
I hope that I'll get to meet you in person very soon,
so
maybe.
Yeah. That would be nice. I would enjoy that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And everybody go visit Carla out at SaginawStreetQuilts.com. And we'll be back after the break.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit AllPeopleQuilt.com and click on Tool School. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzy Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain, showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anila Hoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. My next guest is Heidi Pridemore, and you have seen Heidi's quilts way more often than you realize. Besides designing for her own fabric, her own pattern company called Whimsical Workshop, she also designs and makes literally hundreds of quilts a year for the fabric companies. Whenever new fabric comes out, they need a quilt, and Heidi apparently is the woman they call on. So I am really excited because I want to find out how all this is done. So Heidi's going to tell us about it. So hi, Heidi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great. You know, I'm really interested in, like, you are so prolific. Does it feel like you, I mean, do you feel like you quilt, like, you know, every minute of the day?
It's more designing. I'm designing all the time. And because a lot of what we design, we don't actually make the end quilt. We mm-hmm. do it digital. So we're always designing something.
So how did you end up getting involved with doing the designs for the fabric companies?
Well, I went to school for industrial design, which is product mm-hmm. development.
Oh.
And it's more along the lines of, you know, cell phones and coffee makers and that kind of development. And
a Heidi coffee maker.
Exactly. And when I moved to Arizona, I was looking for work as a designer. There wasn't any. I started quilting. And long story short, I looked at fabric and thought, well, they have to develop products for the fabric. Mm-hmm. And I started approaching the fabric companies at that point saying that we could develop, you know, digital quilts or marketing material for them.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was in 2000, so 12 years ago.
Wow.
And it just took off, and we have a niche, so we've done very well.
Oh my gosh, Heidi. You know, I've known that you were out there, you know, because you actually helped, your team helped with one of my projects one time when, you know, we needed to get it quilted, because you do all kinds of services besides
right.
the designing.
Well, we're a full design studio. So we do start to finish. We'll design it and make it and finish it, or we will, in your case, needed the quilt finished, we'll just take mm-hmm. the quilt and finish it. So
how many people do you have? Do you have a team that's just like a core team, and then you get extra people in during, you know, at the trade shows is really when all the frenzy happens, doesn't it?
Exactly. We're in the middle of it right now.
Exactly. You should not be at my house today, I tell you. That's
I'm the main designer. Mm-hmm. My husband does help me with the digital work and the instructions and computer work. My mother-in-law has a long-arm machine, so she does all the long-arm quilting, and then my father-in-law handles the website, the retail. We do a lot of magazines where we do fabric kits, so he handles all of that. And then we have three or four other ladies that come in right around market time. We have another long-arm quilter, a couple other sewers that can take the designs and get them made, even if we don't have a pattern written. So, you know, sometimes it's four of us, sometimes it's seven. Just depends on the time of year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just had two people come and drop off blocks for me today. They're friends that my fabric line is, you know, my travel schedule is like crazy. So I
right.
was thinking about you today.
Right. Well, we have a week and a half and 12 quilts mm-hmm. to go. So we, you know, this is something that happens every market, and, mm-hmm. and we're very used to the pace. It's just, mm-hmm. it is kind of crazy right around fall and spring market.
Ah, my gosh. So what is your process for people who are not designing on demand? You know, this is mm-hmm. sort of how do the company send you the lines, and that right. inspires the quilts, or do you sort of...
That's exactly it. They send us the scans. Sometimes we'll get them even before the collection is assorted. which means mm-hmm. that they decide which pieces to put in the group and which pieces not to print, mm-hmm. To get feedback as to what will make the strongest quilt. Sometimes mm-hmm. the collection is already together. So they'll send the collections via digital files, mm-hmm. and I pull from the collections. I decide, is it a floral group? Is it a whimsical group? Is it a modern group? Mm-hmm. And the feel of the fabric is always what dictates what the design will look like.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. People, you should go to thewhimsicalworkshop.com and take a look at the variety of styles that Heidi produces. Everything from an incredible modern to the cutest, funkiest little fish with great big lips. They're just adorable. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff out here. And, you know, it's funny that like, you create all of it.
Right. Like, right. Well, and the other thing that listeners can do is if they just do an internet search with mm-hmm. my name, mm-hmm. all of the free patterns from the fabric companies will start popping up, because when mm-hmm. I started, everything was printed. As you know, now everything is online.
Right.
And so you can go to P&B or Timeless Treasures or some of these mm-hmm. other companies and download these patterns, and they're free. Mm-hmm. And they're very well written, and there's a lot of people who edit them. We edit everything before it leaves our studio, and then I know most of the fabric companies then edit it before they post it. So mm-hmm. they're good patterns, and there are lots of different designs out there.
Yeah, I had on my blog today, everybody was commenting that, you know, they've, oh, I love Heidi's patterns. So
we like to hear that. We do. Because yeah. the ones that are on our website is really the stuff that, it's close to my heart. I love the whimsical, fun, and bright stuff. And the pattern company came about because, obviously, with the fabric companies, they're dictating to me the fabric. Mm-hmm. And so I can design, you know, the whole range of mm-hmm. fabrics, but I really have a soft spot for the brights and the whimsical. So we mm-hmm. started our own company where I could go play with that and go get to do that. So,
yeah, so then you have a little more freedom when you're producing your own lines. You can mix
right,
fabric lines and,
right.
you know, you don't have to.
And we use that inspiration when we do fabric and, you know, that's truly where we get to play. It's over there.
Yeah, great, great stuff. Now, you and I were talking because we both love fusible applique.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you go out and teach, do you teach that a lot?
I do. We have quite a few different workshops that we do, but our most popular one that always sell out is the fusible applique, and we do tips and tricks for piecing. Mm. And I basically show people not only the basics to doing fusible applique, but with the number of quilts that we have coming out of our studio every year, mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot of shortcuts on how to do things quickly and efficiently and still have it look nice. So people yeah. like to learn those tips. Because not everybody wants to spend a year doing the quilt. They want to get it done.
I get it. Yeah, exactly. I like things to go fast.
Exactly.
You also have a Facebook page, and you have got the most adorable zebra on there today. Your Facebook page is The Whimsical Workshop, so mm-hmm. people should go out there and check that out, too. So tell me a little bit about if you go to a show, Heidi, what are you drawn to? Like, in the besides vendors, you know, we all like the vendors.
Right.
But, when you go into a show, and what kind of quilts are you sort of scanning for to look at, your personal favorite?
I am always drawn to, actually, the petite quilts and the a little more contemporary quilts. I don't do a lot of that, so maybe that's why I'm drawn to it. But I love when there's good balance of color, and I tend to go towards the warmer colors. So more so than a style or a design, it's always the colors that attract mm-hmm. me. And that's where I kind of zoom in on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. You know, speaking of getting quilts ready, you told me one of the things that you do is your sleeve by machine. How in the world do you do the sleeve by machine?
Well, we do the binding and sleeve by machine, and actually I have to credit my assistant, Kathy, for coming up with it. When we do our bindings, we put the binding on the back of the quilt, bring it to the mm-hmm. front, and use mm-hmm. a blind hem stitch with invisible thread in the top and bobbin, mm-hmm. and stitch the binding down with that blind hem stitch. Then what we do is we flip the quilt over to the back, and we mm-hmm. fold down where the sleeve is.
Yeah.
So the sleeve is sitting on the sewing machine table, and the quilt is folded away from it about a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
And you use that same blind hem stitch with a smaller bite, and you're running it along the sleeve and biting into the batting. And because the batting is thicker, it absorbs the stitch, and it doesn't show to the front. So you can put a sleeve on in, like, 3-4 minutes.
I need to see that demo.
Well, I'm sure I'll see you at market. I can show you that. Yeah. But we do have the Binding by Machine. We do offer a booklet on how to do that on our website.
And
we will be adding the sleeve to that here shortly.
But it's
a very, you know, you just flip it over. I guess it's the way they used to hem curtains. But I've never done home deck, so I'm not sure. But it's quick, it's easy, and if anyone, you know, needs me to repeat that, I answer all the emails, so someone can just email me and I can write it out. So.
Ah, you're so nice. That's awesome for you to answer questions. Yeah.
Well, that's how I learned. I had so many wonderful people in this industry that really, they shared their knowledge. They helped me learn as I, you know, we're always still learning. And so I just want to pass it on to the next round of people that are learning.
And people can go out to your website also to book you to come and do things, right? Because you're traveling now to teach.
Right. I've been doing that for about 7 years, and we go anywhere. We've done cruises and all over the United States and do a lecture. We'll do workshops, and we have a list of those on the website, as well as if someone has a special interest. We do a lot of tailored-made workshops, depending on what the group is interested in. So. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd like to have you come and show me how fast you can design a quilt. That would be...
that is actually a lecture we're working on where I actually will come in and I will talk about the design process and design a quilt based on what's going on in the room.
Yeah.
To show people just how I pull, where I pull my influences from, what I see. But one of these days, I think I'll just wake up and not have any more ideas.
No, that will never happen. Heidi, this has been so wonderful. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for asking.
So go out and visit Heidi Pridemore, thewhimsicalworkshop.com, and we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back after that with a little discussion about oilcloth. So be sure you return to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I have to tell you, you know I love technology. I mean, look at us. We're on an internet radio station. You know, what's not to love about the internet? And I am a geek. I really am. I like to be out there in all the places all the quilters are. And so I was on Twitter one day, and Kelly McCants of Modern June was chatting about something. I don't even know what she was chatting about, but I went over there and just took a look at her site and was like, oh my gosh, she does oilcloth, and I want to know more about oilcloth. She even wrote a book on it. So I thought, well, this would be really great. We'll have her on the show, and then she can explain all the mysteries of this fabric to us so that we can be using it. That's what I really want. So we're going to have Kelly come on here and give us all the knowledge that she has. Hi, Kelly.
Hello. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. Yeah, so we're gonna like do a, you know, a mind meld. We're going to learn all about oilcloth from you. So
that's great.
So why are you crazy about it? Why is this something you? I mean, your website is Oilcloth Addict, so you know.
Yeah, and that is really it. I am completely and utterly addicted to it. When I first when my kids got a little bit older, I wanted to start being more creative again. And before I knew it, I was trying to sell stuff at a farmer's market, and I wanted to make a tote. And I had heard about oilcloth, and then I had to go find oilcloth. And it was really hard to find it about 6 years ago. And so that was in June. By January, I had a full line of housewares. With all oilcloth, tablecloths, aprons, you know, splat mats for the babies and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was addicted, and I was addicted fast.
So, well, that's good. You're just like the rest of us, you know. So you fit right in. So tell me tell me the difference, or is there a difference, actually, difference between oilcloth, laminated cottons, and even there's like something called chalk cloth. You know, are these all different products?
They are all different products. Now, the difference between laminated cotton and oilcloth. Oilcloth is manufactured in Mexico, and it is a PVC product. So it's a vinyl product. Okay. It's a they coat it onto a cotton mesh so that it's not like the cheapy little vinyl that you can get at the back of Joann's with the flannel on the back.
Okay.
That has no tooth, and it won't hold a stitch.
Okay.
Oilcloth is thicker than that vinyl, and because of the web on the back, it'll make a tote bag or a tablecloth that'll last you 6 years. It's 47 inches wide, so it's kind of limited in some of the wider crafts, like making a real simple tablecloth for a wider table. That can be difficult. But the laminated cotton from all the great big quilt fabric companies is dreamy. It is a cotton sheeting, and then layered on top is a thin layer of polyurethane.
Okay.
What's great about it is several things. Number one, it's 56 inches wide, so you can really grab a hunk of that from the local quilt shop or from my shop online and cut off the salvages, true up the, you know, the corners, make it square, and throw it on the table, and you've got a very beautiful tablecloth. What's
easy
good about
for the length, because
easy, you know, if you, most tables run about 42 inches wide, 44 inches wide. So if you have a 56 inch drop, you just, you know, make sure you, if you have a 56 inch width, you can just make sure all your drops are the same, and you've got an easy tablecloth.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's also nice because it is a PVC-free product, and it's also most of it's BPA-free, so it's really great for the baby projects, the aprons, the baby bibs, and the flat mats.
Right, because you need to be, that needs to be, you know, that's important when you're doing something for children.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's too much exposure to a lot of things in this world, so the less the better.
And the chalk cloth is something that you actually write on. So, and it's a
yes.
different product still.
It is. It is a it is a vinyl product, but it does not contain any of the phthalates mm-hmm. that are kid no-nos. Mm-hmm. So it's great for all kinds of kid projects, you know, lining a tray, making mm-hmm. a little to-go art kit with a piece, mm-hmm. couple of pieces of chalk and a right. Damp cloth, and you're good to go.
Wow. So I've done a little bit with the laminated cottons, but not a lot. And I know that the one project I did, I had like, it was like so thick. I was having trouble because I decided I would put batting between all that as, you know, in addition. Mm-hmm. But you have some top tips for sewing with these products.
I do. Yeah. All you need for sewing any of this is a regular sewing machine and a regular needle and a regular thread. Now, mm-hmm. when it comes to the needle, you want to make sure that you have a nice brand new needle.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been working on several quilts,
right.
you want to change that needle out because it's long gone.
Yeah.
You want to use a regular, like about a 12.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I tell people a larger needle, a thicker needle, just a bigger hole if you have to take it out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just stick with a regular needle, mm-hmm. About a 12. Go ahead.
I was going to say, are you using a walking foot at all, or how about the foot?
Okay, the foot is where it gets a little, you can get a little fancy. I mm-hmm. prefer a roller foot or a Teflon foot. But okay. if you don't have that, what you can do is you can take a regular foot. Most machines come with what is called an open toe foot.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of looks like the top of a capital letter H. I call it the Super
right.
H foot.
Yeah.
What I do with that is I coat the bottom of it with mm-hmm. painter's tape, cut away the excess, and I have a nice little foot that will help that fabric go through a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just getting started and you don't have a fancy foot, you're not sure whether you want to invest in it, that's a good way to see if you get bitten by the oilcloth bug.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, before you invest in all the tools, you could give it a try.
Exactly.
And you're on your website, which is actually oilclothaddict.blogspot.com, one of your websites. You have, like, on your sidebar, all kinds of info and tips and even some projects.
Yeah. I think that there are 15 to 20 projects, just little free projects on there. And then I have something I call Great Ideas, where if you've made something fun out of oilcloth or laminated cotton or chalk cloth, mm-hmm. I'll put a little post on, you know, blog about it, because mm-hmm. there are so much fun ideas out there. I have to share it with everybody.
So what do you think is the top item that people are, that you hear people are making with oilcloth?
You know, well, traditionally it's always been tablecloths, but mm-hmm. more and more and more I am hearing chairs, covering chairs.
It's
a good staple project. You know those chairs that mm-hmm. you screw out
staples.
The little...
Yeah.
Yeah, you screw it out and then you staple it and eventually you have like four or five different layers on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Recently I found a woman who, I snagged her pictures and put them on the Oilcloth Addict blog.
Yeah.
She said, wipeable fabric, something like brilliant, I'm using it on every upholstered surface in my life.
Yes.
She was really into it. But basically what she did was she popped off those seat chair bottoms and mm-hmm. she covered it in Anna Maria Horner's tarte fabric, mm-hmm. the pretty laminate that's a nice big giant floral print, and painted her chairs red. It was so pretty.
And they're on your blog, so you can see them right now if you're listening today. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in your book, what kind of stuff is in your book? Tell us about that. Your sewing oilcloth book.
Okay. We broke it down into three chapters. Mm-hmm. There's stuff for the home, stuff mm-hmm. for you, and stuff for the family.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Stuff for the home. There's a chalk cloth table runner, party banners that are oil cloth on one side and chalk cloth on the other. There's also, I took an old vintage settee that I found at my most favorite junk store and made brand new seat cushions for it. And we made those out of oil cloth, but that would also be a great project for laminated cotton, too.
What would be the real quick difference between when you would use oil cloth and when you would use laminated? Is there a time that one's better for a project?
You know, I say when you're going to use something that needs to have a more of a stronger hand, stiffer hand, you know, like a tote bag, that you would, that if you made out of oil cloth, it would stand up on its own. But if you made it with laminated cotton, it would kind of wilt unless you did some heavy duty interfacing.
Right. And you sell oil cloth because people may not be able to find it. So they can go to your website and go over to your store and check out what you have there.
Absolutely. We carry about 45 to 50 different oilcloth prints, and we have about 40 laminated cottons.
So very, very good. Now, tell me one more project from your book.
Okay. There's a sweet little Mommy and Me project, a Mommy and Me apron, and that was one of the very first apron patterns that I made 6 years ago. So it's one of my favorite projects. I made it for almost all my family members and things like that. So that's been a lot of fun to see put in the book.
And was that a laminated cotton or an oil cloth?
It is, yeah. I've made that out of both, but I like it, the laminated cotton. Mm-hmm. I like to wear the laminated cotton better because, you know, as I'm sitting down and standing up and, you know, I'll wear an apron all darn day. So the softer laminated cotton just feels so much better.
Yeah, they have that drape to them.
They do, yeah. You know, one of the things I like to tell people is that you could, if you were going to make a purse, you could use a purse with pleats or with gathers really nicely, but you couldn't really do that so well with the oil cloth.
Yeah, because it's a little firmer. So I'm going to have to go out and look for oil cloth now, Kelly. This is just...
All right.
Piqued my interest. I'm going to check it out. So, you know, this has been so wonderful to have you on and explain that because I really didn't know the difference.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you for being here. And everybody go out and visit Kelly at oilclothaddict.blogspot.com. And we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to speak to Liz Johnson of Sew for Home. More good stuff. So here we go.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You know, there's a website out there. If you haven't visited it yet, you really need to just go do that immediately, like while you're listening. So, sew4home.com. I've been, you know, reading all the great tutorials and tips on Sew for Home and finally decided I just have got to get them on the show so they can tell us about what they're doing and we can get all the inside scoop because you know you like that. So I asked Liz Johnson if she would, you know, jump on here and tell us about Sew for Home. And of course she said yes. So Liz, I'm so glad you're here.
I am so glad to be here as well. This is great.
Your site is just phenomenal. I just
Thank
love
you.
It.
We like really? To think so.
Ah, it's just, I mean, everything about it. It's just amazing, from the photography to the tutorial write-ups to just your topics. You just have such a great way of putting things together. Who all is involved with Sew for Home?
The main two people are myself and my sister. And, you know, what's interesting as we got into this whole arena is, and I think that, you know, you've run into that on your show quite a bit, there's a lot of family stuff going on in the sewing and quilting world, which is great. I think it's wonderful. So it's the two of us. I mean, we have other people that work with us and help us do a lot of other things, but from a creative perspective, mm-hmm. it's my sister Ann Adams and myself, and Ann really is the designer brains, and I guess I would consider myself the instructional brains, but it's a great melding of talent, and I think that what you come out with is something that is amazingly trendy and fun. And most important for us is mm-hmm. it's something that really anybody can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, how often are you posting new projects?
Well, we have a new article every weekday, which is amazing.
That's like 5 days a week, right? You're
that is
tutorials?
5 days a week. And sometimes it, you know, it does kill us a little bit, but... like this week, we have what we call a classics week. And so that gives us sometimes a little bit of breathing room in between our main series that we do. Mm-hmm. Because the majority of our projects are sponsored by some of our wonderful sponsors that we have to always stand up and give a giant shout out to, because they really are the ones who are allowing us to do all of this for free. All of our projects, all of our patterns, downloads, everything is free.
Getting
something out every weekday is it's a little crazy.
Yeah, it's like Heidi Pridemore that was on earlier. You know, she designs, you know, hundreds of projects a year for the different companies. And you guys are also doing, like, an enormous amount. And then you're also making every single one. Do you have, like, a little sweatshop going on in that office of yours?
We do. We have our own little sweatshop, which is just awesome. Yeah. We're lucky enough to be based out here in Portland. We're out on the left coast, and mm-hmm. we have a wonderful, wonderful pool of very creative and very talented seamstresses from which to pull. And so we do make things ourselves. It kind of depends sometimes on the deadline crunch that we're under. But we also have a great group of people that we can call upon as well. But the actual designs are all from our own brains. And that really, I think, you know, when we first looked at starting to do this, mm-hmm. that was one of the things that we saw kind of lacking out there, is mm-hmm. Especially in the beginning sewing arena.
Right.
is really finding stuff that is like cool, because what we want to do is we want to inspire people that literally have never sewn before, not even quite sure where the on button is, you know,
right.
And we want them to be out there searching the web, maybe going to Anthropology or Pottery Barn or Crate and Barrel thinking, you know, I'm going to buy some new pillows, and we want them to stumble across Sew for Home. Mm-hmm. And we want them to see the kind of things that are as inspiring to them as something they would buy off the shelf, mm-hmm. and grab them, like you said, with that photography, with that great, fun writing, and have them look at that and say, you know, I think I might be able to do that.
Yeah, and you have, what's really great is that your site is not, it's not a quilt site, it's a sewing site. So it's anything that's going to be stitched on a machine, pretty much.
It is. You know, we've done a few quilts, and we have a series starting in about a week for our dear friends at Moda. Mm-hmm. And so I'll throw a little promotion out for that. It's Bonnie and Camille's brand new vintage modern series, and we've done a delightful group of kitchen projects in it. And they all have a little bit of patchworking. And so we always kind of refer to ourselves as the gateway drug for quilting, because all of our projects are really easy, and people kind of get into it, and then they're hooked, and you know, we really can't help them after that.
right. Then they're like the rest of us, you know. We need more friends. That's what it is.
So we don't do a ton in garment sewing either, because really that is something that once you get into that, you really do have to start having a lot of pattern pieces. And so we're kind of famous for our aprons. We have a huge number of aprons, and people just adore those, and there usually are some free patterns associated with those. But often what we do is, when you get right down to it, all squares and rectangles and strips and things that you can put together without a pattern.
And you show a lot of, what I really like too, is that you branch out from just regular cottons. We were just talking to Kelly about laminates. You have laminates, you've got leathers, you've got this, I'm looking at a wool throw that's got like a corduroy binding on it. That's amazing. I mean, you're using rivets and all kinds of different items, and in a fun, fresh way.
And I think that's part of that, you know, looking forward of always having kind of the trendiest, coolest stuff possible, and really keeping our eye on what's happening on the shelf so that we can help people translate that into things that they can do themselves. And a lot of times it's kind of opening people's eyes to some other kinds of fabrics, some other cool tools that they can work with, or maybe realizing some of the ways that they might be able to use these fabrics. And I think in a lot of ways that's what's really exciting for some of the fabric manufacturers that we work with, because it allows them to have people look at their quilting cottons in kind of a different way. Because oftentimes, you know, people, they've kind of shied away from using that in home deck because it's a little bit lighter weight, and they feel like, oh, we've got to use the sateen, or we've got to use, you know, a heavier weight. But there's tons of stuff that you can do with it.
And people can, you have a tab on the site called Projects, and under that are topics. Can they also search if they're looking for something specific?
They can, and one of the exciting things is that we have been industrious little beavers behind the scenes, and we're actually doing quite a bit of work on our infrastructure, and God willing and the creek don't rise, that will all roll out this month. But people won't see a lot from the front end. It will look basically the same. But one of the things that we are improving is the search, and we're going to be adding kind of some other different ways to look at things from an indexing standpoint. Because it is, you know, it's interesting. People will kind of want to hop around, you know, and they'll go one place and it's like, oh, gosh, you know, I wish I could see all of that. So that is definitely one of the areas that we're hoping to improve a little bit.
So let's talk about this idea fountain that you have. You know, you just sort of put your finger in the socket and everything comes out. You know, I mean, this is like an incredible, do you work on themes? I mean, what is it like to sort of produce this site?
It is very interesting. As I said, both, you know, my sister and I, Anne and I, think a lot alike. You know, we're very good at brainstorming together. One of the interesting things I think that I mentioned to you is that we both come from marketing backgrounds, which is actually a really good thing, because what that trains you to do is kind of look at the trends and to always be looking and getting the ideas and trying to see what's out there. And Anne has really an amazing sense of style and color, which I think that you're kind of born with. But the things that she's able to put together, they just have that instant likability. And again, I think
they
that comes from that marketing background. You know, you kind of know what's going to sell.
And then who's doing the photography? Because you have such great photography. Are you both doing that?
We have wonderful photography. We both do that ourselves. And that's been something that early on we had, you know, some professional help that we kind of relied on. But we've been training ourselves and teaching ourselves and have evolved into that. And luckily have also the design skills to make things look very professional and to maybe correct some little flaws. We love Photoshop.
Yes. Well, I'm like sitting here, like while we're talking, I'm cruising your site, and I've just found like I desperately need to redo my ironing board cover. So I have found a tutorial for that, which I'm probably going to print. When people print from your site, do you just do screen print?
We do have a PDF option, so people can they can either print or they can save to a PDF and print. All of our articles are set up for that.
Okay.
And, you know, we're actually very generous in terms of what we allow people to do with our projects. We do get requests all the time about, you know, can I use these, because they're so likable that people want to use them all the time. And, you know, we are okay with that. Basically everything, of course, like anything on the internet, is copyrighted. So the instructions themselves, any associated patterns or pictures, they can't be reproduced or reprinted or really used in like a class necessarily. If somebody wants to make small quantities for sale, they can't be manufactured by others or sold by others. But if they want to do them themselves for like a bazaar or an Etsy shop or something, we're okay with that. We just ask that somewhere, you know, in your description online or maybe on the tag, that you say this was created by a copyrighted design pattern, whatever, from sewforhome.com. But we've gotten great feedback from people that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm making these for my church group, or I'm making these for my Etsy shop. And because there's a lot of fun, quick things that, you know, we do have wonderful series, like you mentioned, the Moda Half Moon Modern Sewing Room. We have the Moda Kitchen coming up. We have a romantic bedroom coming up for Free Spirit. We have a lovely group for Cotton Couture.
Liz, this has been so incredible. I just have to go out and like spend another hour on your site.
Well, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. Thank you for being here. And everybody visit sewforhome.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week and we have all new guests.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to